Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is no more important question we will face in life than the question of how we get to heaven. When you're in your teens, you don't usually think that much of death. As you grow older, death becomes more familiar as friends and family die and you watch. Death becomes familiar. He doesn't become a friend. Death is always the wages of sin. Death may be familiar, but he's never a friend. The Bible calls him an enemy, but one thing is for certain, nobody gets out of this world alive. We're all headed for the grave. Jesus is the one who tells us how to get to heaven. Jesus is the only one who can tell us. That's because heaven is his home. He lived in glory from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He remained at his Father's side even after he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, became flesh, was born, and lived among us. He called himself the Son of Man. He said, No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. People make up their own gods and worship them. They come in all languages, cultures, and religions. Call it Hinduism, Islam, animism, Judaism, Zoroastrianism, even Christianity. People make up a religion. They call it a name, and they tell you how you can find God. And once you have found him, you do what he says, and that should get you into a better place when you die. Even the most radical secularists who poke fun of every organized religion have their own disorganized religion, hoping against hope that somehow they will make it to heaven. If you know you're going to heaven when you die, you can be confident and secure in the life that you're living right now. If you're afraid you're going to face judgment, punishment, and perhaps even ongoing torment when you die, you can hardly find great joy in living. To know you're going to go to heaven is a precious knowledge, but can you have it? Nicodemus belonged to a religious sect known as the Pharisees. They took their religion very seriously. They lived according to a strict moral code. Not only did they observe all of the commandments of the law of Moses written down in the Bible, they also followed many rules extrapolated from those commandments that were designed to make sure that they didn't break any rules. Nicodemus wanted to be taught. He thought Jesus could teach him, but his fellow Pharisees did not like Jesus very much. Jesus didn't teach how to get to heaven by obeying rules. Jesus offered eternal life as a gift. That didn't win friends among the Pharisees, who took their rules and their obedience to them very seriously. So Nicodemus didn't visit Jesus in the daytime when everyone could see him. He visited him at night when nobody would know that he had done so. He showed Jesus respect. You could even call it flattery. He acknowledged that Jesus was a teacher who came from God because the miracles he did demonstrated that. He obviously thought that he and Jesus could have a productive theological conversation. Jesus wasted no time engaging in mutual compliments or other small talk, but got directly to the point with his assertion that unless you are born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God's rule. It is here and now, and it is then and there. Here and now, it comes from Jesus, who gives you his Spirit, and the Spirit gives you the new birth, a birth from above, a spiritual birth that changes what you are and where you are going. The kingdom of God here on earth is called the kingdom of grace. Only those who enter into the kingdom of grace can enter into the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of glory is heaven. So the way to get to heaven is to first get into Christ's kingdom here on earth. In order to get into that kingdom, one must be born again, born from above, born by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Nicodemus was a bright man. He was a reasonable man. How can a man be born when he is old? He can't re-enter his mother's womb and be born. He asked Jesus how, and Jesus answered him. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Jesus' words are crystal clear. He says that unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He says, born of water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit go together. One is born of them. What is water and the Spirit? Where is water joined to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit to water? In holy baptism. You must be born from above, and it is by means of holy baptism that God gives us this new birth. Now listen very carefully to what I am saying to you. Jesus says nothing here about inviting him into your heart to become your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus says not a word about praying a sinner's prayer, making an altar call, dedicating your life to Jesus, or being confirmed in a church with proud parents, loving family, and a congregation encouraging you on. He says, you must be born of water and the Spirit. You must be baptized, for baptism is where the water and the Holy Spirit are joined together, and you must be born spiritually. He says we must be born of water and the Spirit. Baptism is God's gift, His doing, His action, His power, and His promise. God is the one doing what is being done in holy baptism. It is not the one being baptized. It's not the minister who acts as God's hands and voice. It is God. When the minister calls the baptized by name, applies water, and says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," it is God who claims that person as his own. Now, baptism isn't magic. It is God's promise. Magic works automatically. God's promise calls for faith. That's how a promise is received. God's promise is also how God creates faith. So the faith that is required is the faith that is created by the same promise of God. The Spirit is the one who calls us to faith and keeps us in the faith. He works through holy baptism. He works through the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. He breathed the Spirit on his disciples just before giving them the authority to forgive sins. But why does the Holy Spirit convert one person and not another? One believes and receives the gospel message with joy. Another is bored, disinterested, and dismisses it with contempt. Who can figure out the Holy Spirit? We cannot and we shouldn't try. We can't even figure out the wind. But we know what the Holy Spirit does. He gives us the new life of faith, and we know how He does it through the gospel and sacraments. Just what is it to have faith? What is faith? What is it to believe? How does one remain in the Christian faith? Consider the story to which Jesus alluded as He illustrated what faith is to Nicodemus. He said to him, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Do you remember the story about the serpent in the wilderness? The children of Israel had spent 40 years wandering around the Sinai desert before God brought them into the promised land. They whined and complained the whole time. One time they became particularly resentful of God, and they accused God and Moses, his prophet, of bringing them into the desert to die. They were denying that God loved them, that He cared for them, was kind and merciful to them, and was their Savior. In short, they had abandoned the faith. So God punished them. He sent poisonous snakes into the camp to bite them, and the people began to die. And then they saw that they were wrong to deny God. They were wrong to accuse God. And they told Moses, "Moses, appeal to God, do something for us." So God told Moses to make a bronze serpent, put it up on a pole, and everybody who was dying from the poison who looked up at that serpent would live. And that serpent was a type of Jesus. All of us are sinners who deserve to die and go to hell because of our sin. And that sin poisons us and kills us. But Jesus is lifted up on the cross, and there He takes upon Himself the sin of the whole world. He draws into His own body the poison of sin, and He suffers and dies. You live a life looking to Jesus. You confess your sins. You acknowledge your guilt. Admit what you deserve. Look to Jesus dying on the cross for you, and you have eternal life. Heaven is your home. People want to be in charge. And they're in charge of God, they think, so they make up their own gods, denying the Holy Trinity. They make their own way of salvation that's based on works. But it's only by looking to Him who is lifted up on the cross, who dies for us, keeping our eyes focused on Him. That's the only way to heaven. And that's why the church is the home of every Christian. Church is where every Christian belongs, because church is where the gospel sounds forth. The forgiveness of sins is proclaimed. The body and the blood of Jesus are offered to Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of their sins. Church is where every Christian belongs, a church where the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity. God will never reject His sons and His daughters when they come to Him confessing their failures and their sins, acknowledging that they deserve to die but want to live. He will always forgive them for the sake of Him who was lifted up on the cross. As surely as the people perishing in the wilderness lived when they looked at the bronze serpent, so surely will God take to heaven forever those who look to Jesus suffering and dying on the cross for them and believe in Him for the forgiveness of their sins. God will never reject those who come to Him in Jesus' name. He will receive them and forgive them, fill them with His Spirit, and give them the assurance that they're on their way to heaven. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us. We invite you to visit our congregations that sponsor this broadcast. Church is at 8:30 at St. John in Fairview, 10 o'clock at Trinity in Sydney every Sunday morning. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.